magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, February 27th, 2018. I'm certain if you were with us for the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, you've returned to hear the third and fourth installment of this special titled Ambassador of the Gospel, a tribute to the life and ministry of Billy Graham. You'll hear some excerpts from his crusades, conferences, an interview by Moody staff. It's such a great broadcast that I had to share it with you all, and knowing that there'll be special services tomorrow in Washington under the Rotunda, I thought it appropriate to air this special. We'll begin with a portion of a message by Dr. Graham.
Death is the one common reality of all human life. We're all going to die. I've walked through this building a number of times. I've seen these statues of the great Americans in Statuary Hall. And they have one thing in common. They're all dead. And we're going to join them. Are you ready for that day?
A portion of Dr. Billy Graham's address in Washington, D.C., at the Capitol's Statuary Hall, where Billy was honored with the Congressional Gold Medal in 1996. The ministry of Dr. Graham intersected the political life of the nation and the world. In the next few minutes, we'll hear a sample of some of those experiences. To begin with, we have a rare interview between Dr. Graham and former WMBI News Director Walter Carlson. This interview took place on the floor of the Democratic Convention in Chicago in 1968.
Dr. Graham, what are your feelings regarding being chosen to pray at both of the political party conventions this year?
Well, as a matter of fact, I've been asked at each of the conventions since 1952, and this is the first time that I had accepted their invitations. I was invited to the Democratic Convention first this year, and I said, well, I will come because it's the president's birthday if you allow me to go to the Republican Convention also. And they said, why, of course, we consider you non-political.
Very good. Dr. Graham, how involved do you think Christians should be in politics?
I think this is a question for each individual Christian and his conscience before the Lord, but I think that Christians today, especially lay Christians, ought to get as involved as possible. Because if we don't, then the country is going to go into the hands of the wrong people.
Let's continue on this theme of Dr. Graham's involvement in the political world with more from Wayne Shepherd's interview about Dr. Graham's autobiography titled Just As I Am.
A good part and a very interesting part of your life story is the relationships that you've had through the years, not only with common people, so to speak, but with world leaders and American presidents. And you say that the motivating factor for you has always been the opportunity to share Christ with everybody that you come in contact
with. That's correct.
That's still true today.
That's still true today. And I've had the privilege of knowing 10 presidents, including the present one, for a long time. I knew all of them before they ever became president, except Truman.
But you did meet to pray with President Truman on one occasion.
I did, and made a terrible faux pas and an embarrassment, I think, to the White House and the whole country, and certainly to me. Nobody had briefed me on when you talk to a president or a person of that stature that you don't quote them afterward. When we got out from seeing the president, there were four of us. The press surrounded us and said, did you pray with the president? And I said, yes, we did. So we weren't there. We didn't get any pictures of that, and we didn't hear it. Could you go out on the lawn of the White House and repeat it? And I thought, well, there'd be no harm in that. I didn't know. And I went out there, and we got down on our knees and prayed, and that picture was on the front page all over the country the next day, much to our embarrassment.
And what did the president think of that?
He didn't like it. But about a month or two later, we heard that he, through a newspaper columnist, that he said Billy Graham is persona non grata at the White House any longer.
Did you ever get a chance to talk with him about it?
Oh, yes. Years later, I got to know him in Independence, Missouri. And when I stopped there and talked to him several times, he was so warm and gracious. Then the next president, of course, was Eisenhower. I got to know him in Paris through an acquaintance we had in Texas, who was a very wealthy man who wanted me to go to Paris and talk to Eisenhower about running for president. And I said, I'm not qualified to talk to him for president. Oh, yes, you are. He said, you go talk to him. Eisenhower had set aside a couple hours, and I got to know him a little bit at that time. And then when he became nominated for president, he had heard that I could help him in speech writing. And so he asked me if I'd go to Denver with him and help him. He wanted to put some scriptures in his speeches. He hadn't gone to church in years. And then when he became president, I saw him many times, got to really love him and know that he became a Christian.
Some of the many details found in Dr. Billy Graham's autobiography, Just As I Am. Another Moody Radio personality that spoke often with Dr. Graham was Jim Warren, former host of Primetime America. The segment we're about to hear was recorded right before Billy prayed at the inauguration of President George H.W. Bush in 1989.
Dr. Graham, you frequently speak in your messages, as many do, about the ills of our country and how we have some problems. And those, sometimes we can take it too seriously and just see the glass half empty. How do you account for the enigma that despite the fact that we have many problems when it comes to getting someone to lead in prayer, we have a thoroughgoing evangelical, a Bible-believing man like yourself who's the man who's tapped to do this?
Well, I think that there are many Bible-believing people here in Washington. We have a number of senators and congressmen that love the Lord, and a lot of their staffs are Christians. And the Bushes themselves are Christians. They're evangelical Christians. And President-elect Bush's mother is a very devout Christian who has been with the Bible Study Fellowship, studying the Bible. In fact, I visited her in December, and I thought I was going to see her, and she had a house packed with people for me to teach the Bible to.
That's great. Would you just give a word of encouragement to people all across the country who are serving not only nationally but in the local governments and those who maybe might considering going into that role of how important it is for believers to take these places?
I think it's very important for Christian men and women to offer themselves for public service. And if we're to keep this country the way we want it, a place of freedom, especially freedom of worship, because nearly all of us are the sons and grandsons and great-grandsons and daughters of emigration, and many of those people that emigrate here are fleeing religious persecution. Mm. And here in this country, we have the freedom of worship, and may it always be so.
During times of national tragedy, Americans expected to hear from Dr. Graham, and he always took the opportunity to present the gospel. An unforgettable moment for this country was the moving prayer service which took place at the National Cathedral just days after the 9/11 attacks. Here's a portion of Dr. Graham's message to the nation in 2001.
As a Christian, I have hope not just for this life, but for heaven and the life to come. And many of those people who died this past week are in heaven right now, and they wouldn't want to come back. It's so glorious and so wonderful, and that's the hope for all of us who put our faith in God. I pray that you will have this hope in your heart. This event reminds us of the brevity and the uncertainty of life. We never know when we too will be called into eternity. I doubt if even one of those people who got on those planes or walked into the World Trade Center or the Pentagon last Tuesday morning thought it would be the last day of their lives. It didn't occur to them. And that's why each of us needs to face our own spiritual need and commit ourselves to God and His will now. Here in this majestic National Cathedral, we see all around us symbols of the cross. For the Christian, I'm speaking for the Christian now, the cross tells us that God understands our sin and our suffering. For He took upon Himself, in the person of Jesus Christ, our sins and our suffering. And from the cross, God declares, I love you. I know the heartaches and the sorrows and the pains that you feel, but I love you. The story does not end with the cross, for Easter points us beyond the tragedy of the cross to the empty tomb. It tells us that there is hope for eternal life, for Christ has conquered evil and death and hell. Yes, there's hope.
Stay with us for the concluding segment of Ambassador of the Gospel, a tribute to the life and ministry of Dr. Billy Graham.
You are listening to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, and there is hope, dear listener, and it's found in Jesus. If you'd like to know more about having a relationship with God, dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Let's return to the conclusion of this special broadcast, but know that this one-hour radio special is archived and accessible at greatnewsradio.org. That's greatnewsradio.org under our archived programs link.
Oh, the joy of knowing him and following him these many years. I covet that for all of you young people that are searching for something to believe in, for a flag to march under, for a slogan to say, for a song to sing. It's all yours, wrapped up in Christ.
A call to teens from Dr. Billy Graham as he spoke at a crusade in Washington, D.C. in 1986. Part of Dr. Graham's ministry was preparing the next generation to take up the task of evangelism. To follow through with that vision, the Graham Organization sponsored teaching conferences overseas and in the United States. Here's part of a keynote address given at the North American Conference of Itinerant Evangelists, presented in 1984.
We should be like Jeremiah. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Is the word of God like a burning fire in your soul and mine? I have to ask myself that question. It's not always there. And I get concerned about it sometimes. And I have to fall on my face before God and I say, oh God, I want to be like Jeremiah. I want this word to burn in my heart. And then proclaim it with simplicity. We need to avoid the temptation to impress people with our learning or our travels or our eloquence. The Bible says the common people heard him gladly. Why? Because they understood him. He spoke their language.
Another Moody Radio host who was able to interview Dr. Graham was Chris Fabry. In 1992, Dr. Graham sat down with Chris for a conversation during a meeting of the National Association of Evangelicals. This originally aired on the Open Line broadcast.
Why, Billy Graham? Why did God choose you like none other in this century, in the latter half of this century?
Well, as soon as I get to heaven, I'm going to try to find that out, but I don't know today. I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. I'm the least of all God's servants. I don't have the capacities and the abilities and the talents that so many people around me have. And why the Lord has chosen to use me in this way, I don't know. And also, I think we have to decide what success is. What success, some newspaper says, may be failure in God's sight. I think God looks on the inner life. And it's the inner life that I feel that I'm the most failing in.
You were held in such high esteem, though. I'm wondering, when you wake up in the morning and your first thoughts, do you ever think, my, what God has done, what God has blessed through what I have done, the millions, literally millions of people?
No, that never crosses my mind. The first thing I think about is where I can get my first cup of coffee.
Dr. Graham maintained a lasting connection with several organizations and schools in the Chicago area. Among them, Wheaton College, Moody Bible Institute, and Youth for Christ. In 1988, Youth for Christ held their 40th anniversary celebration in Moody Church, and Dr. Graham delivered a message titled Five Unchangeable Truths. Here's an excerpt.
40 years ago, we came from every walk of life, but we had a vision and a zeal not only to win souls, but to evangelize the whole world. And Jim Elliot, K
came just a little bit later, out at Wheaton, and went down to South America and was killed by the Alca Indians, and he wrote, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." I've often thought of that. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. People ask me, what is the secret of successful evangelism? And I tell them, I'm not sure what successful evangelism is except faithfulness to God. A person may be successful and never see a single soul come to Christ for years. But if he's faithful, God looks on faithfulness.
As we come to the end of this tribute to Dr. Billy Graham, let's return to his interview with Wayne Shepherd about the book, Just As I Am.
Do you ever wish you could be just Bill Graham instead of Billy Graham?
I'd give anything in the world if I could go back and just be in overalls and blue jeans and be on the farm.
Dr. Graham, as we close here, no doubt there is someone listening to our conversation today who's deeply troubled about some issue in their life. And I cannot close this conversation with Billy Graham without asking you to point to the one that you serve and invite listeners to follow him as well.
I don't think there's any problem that a person faces today that cannot be faced courageously and successfully if Christ is in your heart, because the Holy Spirit, he has sent the Holy Spirit to direct us, to guide us, to comfort us, to give us peace, and to produce fruit of the Spirit. And that can happen to anyone who puts their trust and confidence in Christ. Well, how do you do that? First, you must recognize that you are a sinner. And the Bible says all have sinned. The Bible quotes David, the great king of Israel, as saying, "In sin did my mother conceive me from conception on." We are born with the seed of sin. And that sin is breaking the law of God. And we're all sinners. We've all broken his laws. And the penalty is death and judgment and hell. And while we may suffer natural death, the judgment and the hell come after death if we don't receive Christ. But then he also loves us very much. And that's the message I'd like to leave with everyone, that God loves you. No matter what your problem, no matter what your sin, no matter how you have failed, God loves you. And God is willing to forgive you and change you and give you a new power and a new strength and a new outlook that you've never had before, if you will let him, because he will send the Holy Spirit to come into your heart and give you this extra power, spiritual power. And then you must be willing to obey him and follow him. And that's the reason it's important to read the Bible, to study from Moody Culpepper. You can get every kind of book that would help you in the Bible and understanding the Bible. That helped me because I used to buy all those books that I could. And preached them and studied them and used them in my witness. Because people need to know that when you make a commitment to follow Christ, that's just the beginning. You have to have a lifetime. That doesn't mean that you're perfect. We're all imperfect and we all are sinners. And we still need the cleansing blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us. Continues to cleanse from all sin. And that's a great joy to me.
You often ask people to pray with you. Would you pray with us right now and help people make that decision?
Yes, if you're listening right now and you have heard the fact that you need to repent of your sin and receive Christ as Savior by faith, I'm going to ask you to bow your head wherever you are. You don't even need to bow your head. You may be lying in bed, or you may be driving down a highway. Just say, "Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm willing to turn from my sins if you'll help me. And I turn by faith to Christ. I want him to come into my heart and forgive my sins and change my life. I turn my life over to you now. Now, Lord, you know some of the problems I face and will face more intensely after this decision. I need you, Lord, and I thank you for coming into my heart now. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you've responded to Dr. Graham's invitation to receive Christ, or you'd like to talk with someone about becoming a Christian, there's help for you. Just call 888-NEED-HIM. Someone is waiting to talk with you right now at 888-NEED-HIM. We hope you've been able to catch a glimpse of the many facets of Dr. Graham's life and the scope of his ministry. Thanks for being with us for this time to remember and honor the life and work of Dr. Billy Graham. Ambassador of the Gospel is a production of Moody Radio in Chicago.
Wow, what a special one-hour program placed into yesterday and today's edition of Mark and Friends, and also archived so you can listen to it anytime or pass it on to a friend by stopping by greatnewsradio.org and accessing our archived programs link. Thank you, God, for the ministry and legacy that Dr. Billy Graham has left us. May it encourage us to persevere, to fight the good fight, to finish well, and to model Christ in a powerful way in this day and age. Now, if you would like to know more about having a personal relationship with God, you can talk to some people. It's a free call. Dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, thanks for listening and being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.